today?
Today is April 17th. Today is April 17th. Yeah. Yes. And I'm here at the apartment of Alfred Levitt in Greenwich Village, New York City. And I'm taking this opportunity to get on tape what Alfred would like to say regarding the show of his work in the context of his life, having come through Ellis Island and then having a show of his artwork when he, at your age now, 103 years old. And this show ran from December 5th, 1997
to April
6th, 1998. And it has just been taken down. And so I thought it might be good to get on record some of the feelings and some of the thoughts that Alfred has had about that show. Okay, Alfred, just overall, what would you like to say about having had this show of six rooms of your work at Ellis Island?
The show at Ellis Island, can I repeat? The show at Ellis Island is a dream come true. When I first came to the United States in 1911, I never dreamt that I could achieve the distinction and honor of being featured in such a historic place as Ellis Island. There were four rooms showing about 50 items for exhibit, paintings and ephemera. I was there at the opening to greet about 100 people who came to congratulate me and to felicitate me on my achievement. I was a very extremely happy man to realize an ambition that I had in my mind since boyhood. My father was a manufacturer of carriages that were used for sporting in Russia, at which time he was compelled to use paints, color, oil, and all sorts of things, which I smelt and witnessed when I was a child. I carried with me that feeling of color, that feeling of paint, which remained with me until I started seriously to consider being a practicing artist. With good fortune, I ran into an art school on 107th Street and near Madison Avenue, which was conducted by the Ferrer School, to which Robert Henri, the American artist, used to come occasionally to teach the students. I was attracted when I asked the woman why the school was not open at the moment. She said to me that the school has no money for a model, at which moment I stripped my pants and told the woman that I'm ready to be a model to open a school, and that's what she did it. Since then, the school admitted me to all its lectures, to all its activities free of charge for my having offered to being a model. And I profited very much by being a student under the famous tutelage of Robert Henry.
And what was it that Robert Henry, what did you learn from Robert Henry?
He learned how to approach a palette of color and not to be afraid to use it. To put your brush into the color, mix various shades of color until you achieve what you want. Color is not to be afraid of. Color is to be used to express your feeling for a concept that you might have at a moment. In addition to Robert Henry, I was fortunate to have been admitted by Hans Hofmann, the German painter who came to New York and who revolutionized, in a sense, the vision of how to approach beauty in nature and in life. I learned an awful lot from him. The two teachers have made an artist out of me.
And what was it you learned from Hans Hofmann? What was it you learned from Hans Hofmann in particular?
Hofmann introduced me to the theory of planular approach to painting on a surface, paper or canvas, avoiding the necessity of
three dimensions, of perspective.
Perspective. That there is no such a thing as perspective. It's an illusion in your eye. Because when you face something, you face the object or the scene with the limitations that exist in the human eye. When you understand it, you try to avoid duplicating it in your canvas. And he introduced a system that did eliminate the necessity of perspective and achieve distance for the human eye.
And then what about your social group as you were developing as a painter in Greenwich Village?
Discussion with whom?
Pardon?
With whom?
When you were developing as an artist, you were in the companionship of other artists. Will you talk about that?
Well, at the moment, it was in 1913, when New York was just about being invaded by the Cubist movement of France. We, the Americans, formally stuck to the Renaissance approach to painting. And we discovered, because of Hofmann's new theory, that the Renaissance is not the only way to see beauty in nature and in human among human beings. It started a young revolution, and every artist was talking about it. And when we gathered, we discussed the problem of how to achieve what we see in the, using the new method introduced by Hofmann. And we did.
And what was your most productive time?
The productive time is, I've discovered that there was a group of artists who spend their time in the summertime painting in Gloucester, Massachusetts. I went there, rented a studio, and I associated with many artists who are very quite famous today, who made a good name for themselves. They were an influence to me. I spent about 15 years in Gloucester. What I felt was my most productive and most inventive and the most creative period of my life.
And when was your work introduced into the New York art world?
My first introduction was the Babcock Galleries on 57th Street during the First World War. I went to the Babcock Gallery with a half a dozen things that I painted. And he was interested in what I did and invited me to a show. And that's where I had my first show in 1946. And that was the introduction to the art world. I've gotten some fairly decent reviews, which encouraged me that my talent was not fictitious, that it was real.
Mm-hmm. And you've also had works in some major museums. Your work has been in major museums as well.
After which, I tried to introduce my work to the museums of New York and outside of New York. Fortunately, after several years, my work was good enough to be shown to the New York Metropolitan Museum. They answered my question and they came up to my studio, three people, and they looked over my work. They have chosen 20 paintings of the Gloucester period to be included in their permanent collection.
And of all your works, do you have particular favorites?
The favorite thing about my work is this, should be this. I never repeat it. Every painting is an individual creation. I've developed no particular style because each concept created in me a desire for a new form. And the new form avoided stylization.
Why was that important? Why was it important to not become a stylized painter?
Well, most painters, even during the Renaissance, felt that was the line of least resistance to follow what they know. And once they discover a certain way of doing things, it's the line of least resistance. And that's what they followed. To me, I didn't like it. I liked to respond to the urge that's in my mind and in my emotional being. Consequently, I couldn't repeat the form that I used. Each concept demanded its own raiment, its own clothing.
Mm-hmm. Did you always paint from life?
Most always, either from a model or from people in the subways, in the streets, or at the seashore, or setting up a still life at home in a studio, studying the form of things on the table. I remembered, of course, the greatness of Cézanne. Cézanne taught me a lot of things about painting still lifes. Cézanne to me was a master of that way of painting.
Would you say anything else about about painters who inspired you or particular works of art that are your favorites?
Of course, no one can deny the influence of being an artist by Rembrandt of the Renaissance period, or by the modern artists like Braque, Matisse, and Picasso, and many more, who have broken the obstacles imposed by the religious atmosphere of the Renaissance period.
How did you feel when you saw the first room of the show at Ellis Island that showed pictures from Stara-Dube, Russia, where you began your life?
Well, of course, I cannot find the proper words to express my reaction to the things on the wall. Objects that I've lived with, I grew up with, it reminded me of a life long ago. And I was extremely shook up, as it were, with satisfaction. It was beautifully displayed, and every item on the wall reminded me of part of my life in Stara-Dube, the little village in which I was born.
Mm-hmm. And we put up a picture that you had on your living room wall of a carriage, a horse-drawn carriage that I suspect reminded you of your father's building of carriages.
Yeah. As I said, my father was a great mechanic, building a carriage was not an easy job because he had no tools. He had no money to buy tools. We were very poor. And he had to build a carriage from the wheels up with his 10 fingers. He had the patience and the knowledge and the pursuit and the need to feed a starving family. It used to take him at least a half a year to build a carriage. In the meantime, by the time he got some money from his client, the family had to starve.
Do you think your father was particularly encouraging that you become an artist?
No. My father was too old when he came to America. Too old to know what to do, his children would do. The children had to choose their own road, fashion their own lives in a new country. So my father's influence was too old to be effective.
Well, I suppose that was a creative process, just figuring out what to do in a place that was new.
Well, of course it's a creative process, but the drive to be different, to be somebody that will be recognized as a creative man in a new country was very powerful. It developed in me. I craved it, I sought it. It is my pursuit.
Do you have any idea why you developed that craving to be different and to do something important?
I always felt that craving to be up high is more important than being on the bottom. There are too many people on the bottom who are poor. And there's room, plenty of room up on top.
And what made you change from painting social realism art to painting a more abstract kind of art?
The invasion of Cubism to the United States, which changed not only my mind all the artists that I knew and changed me too, because I wouldn't remain alone as a realist. Everybody began to paint abstraction. I followed everybody.
Mm-hmm. Were you ever tempted by the abstract expressionist movement?
No, well, I discovered it myself. Mm-hmm. I felt that there's justification for abstraction. Everything you do is abstract. Every line you put down is abstract. It's just a combination of what you accomplish on the paper becomes an abstraction. See? And you can twist the visual influence for the abstraction in your own creative way.
Warm? Shall we pause for
Where's
a minute?
Janet? Where's Janet?
Okay, let me pause here.
Janet.
Okay, we're resuming here. Alfred, what about the press coverage that you got for the show? The press coverage.
Oh. In a sense, I was pleased with the press coverage, the local press, and some national. But I'm not entirely happy that it did not cover New York Times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, a spread in the gallery guide was pretty good.
Oh, yeah, but the gallery guide is not the Times.
Mm-hmm.
So I am happy. Yeah, the cover is pretty good. I have a gallery guide. I have many publications that you sent me.
Mm-hmm.
Boston Globe.
Mm-hmm. Daily News.
The Villager.
Okay. Forward.
Forward. I'm glad of that. Maybe not as fully as I'd be pleased, but I can't find any unhappiness about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you were at it. I'm glad you did what you did, because without you, I couldn't have gotten that much.
Well, your show warranted it, so.
Of course, of course. Mm-hmm. I always prized the little booklet that you wrote, very beautifully written. Well done. So, but I call it, it's my last laugh. Finish my life. I only hope to live a few more years to enjoy what I've accomplished. Just enjoy looking at it, to enjoy it, not to do. I can't paint anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm toying with the idea of contributing a painting to the Ellis Island Museum.
Mm-hmm.
It's a permanent possession.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at things, which one I'm going to get to. You'll have to frame it.
Yeah, open this in the mailbox.
Okay.
For a man of 103 years of age, who still retains his good mind, is in itself phenomenal. There aren't many people walking around anywhere who've reached my age and who can so easily recall experiences in the art. I'm very happy about my sanity, but my body does not listen to my mind. Mrs. Alfred, you've had yours. Permit somebody else to take your place. And that's what's happening. I have to vacate my share for the next generation, which is a natural sequence of life itself for everybody. I am not unique. It's not a special dispensation for me. I happen to contain the essence of good longevity, which helps me to carry on. And it helps me to attain a level of life which is rare.
Do you have any beliefs about after death, reincarnation, or anything like that?
No. I only repeat what I once read. Professor Einstein, the great mathematician, was asked, "Do you believe in God?" He looked at the inquisitor and he said, "No, I don't believe." But 5 seconds later, he said, "But every time I look at the sky, I start believing." That's the position I take. Okay? I don't believe there was an organized architecture to the world. It's purely accidental. But the result of that accident impels one to lean in that direction. That's what it is. I'm happy, and as long as the world lasts, and as long as the Metropolitan Museum is in existence, my name will be there. That's more than many artists can boast about. Okay. And I'm happy to know. I'm sort of flying around.
You're fine.
You know. That I am the first artist who was honored by the revitalized and reconstructed Ellis Island Museum.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. And that to me is a great honor. Mm-hmm. To have met Janet Levine, the wonderful person who first contacted me, and organized the show the way she did, is a commendation beyond my understanding. Beautiful.
Thank you.
And that's all I can say. There isn't much more for me to say. I'm a human being who tasted many things that life has to offer. By force of pursuit or by sheer accident. These came and I enjoyed them. I lived beautifully. I've had no sicknesses of any kind to disturb my life. I've traveled to many parts of the world. I've met a lot of interesting people. I've learned a lot of things in life. And I still know that I don't know enough.
Maybe that's the perfect place to stop, Alfred.
So, that's where I am. And I'm at that point of life. Whatever nature decides to do will happen. And I know my friends who are left behind me will see that I got a permanent place somewhere when I'm undisturbed.
Okay, I want to thank you very much. I'm very happy to have this interview as a follow-up to the show of your work. Yes. And this is Janet Levine for the National Park Service. I'm here with Alfred Levitt in Greenwich Village at his home on April 17th, 1998, following an exhibition of his artwork in the context of his life that was shown in the six-room gallery at Ellis Island at the Immigration Museum from December 5th, 1997 through April 6th, 1998. Closing off.